Good morning. We're glad you're with us. We made this announcement just a minute ago. Let's just see if there's anybody else that wants to participate. We have a survey that we're using for our MDOP customers. We're trying to get some feedback on the products and the technology. So if you haven't filled one out, raise your hand. If you have or have one, we'll ask for that at the end of the presentation today and go ahead and get those turned in at that time and just hand it to one of the ladies at the door on the way out or one of my colleagues here. Welcome. We're glad you're with us today. My name is Tim Crabb. I am actually just trying to just tweak one last thing for a demo that I'm going to build. So I apologize. Give me just 1 second to make sure this is going to work. If not, we'll do what we do in all good demos, and that's adjust. Anyhow, we welcome you and are glad you're with us today. I'm a program manager based out of our Utah office. Grateful to be with you in beautiful Madrid. Enjoy being here, and there's much to enjoy and see in the city, and glad we can spend a few minutes with you today to talk about UEV. We had a big announcement in the keynote this morning. I don't know if you heard. We now have a beta available of the latest release of UEV that supports Windows 8 and introduces some really cool new functionality. We'll talk about that today. You can go out and download the beta. The goal of this presentation is to hopefully give you the tools that you need that you can go back to your offices and be able to start leveraging and using UEV. And ideally, UEV is a very simple, easy product to roll out. It's a client-based product. It doesn't require server components. So hopefully, based on what we give you in this session today, each of you can go back and possibly get this up and running in as little as 5 or 10 minutes to get a pilot running in your lab and an environment. So with that, let's kind of just do a quick overview of what we've got going on in the session. We want to be able to help you understand how UEV uses and delivers user state management for you and help you understand how to deploy, configure, and manage UEV. So hopefully we can help you understand how easy UEV is and straightforward to deploy and how you can leverage your existing infrastructure without having to spend a lot of extra time, cost, and energy in building out these solutions. So with that, let's dive in and talk a little bit about UEV and user state. The goal of this is really to help you change the device, but keep your experience. Now, what does that mean? There are several ways that we can view this. First off, it's all about being personal and flexible. This is where your apps and your OS, the customizations, personalizations that you make follow you, that you can get on that device quickly and easily without having to wait for everything to come down. And then you don't have to reconfigure your OS as you move between devices. Things just work the way you want. And if you think about this one, this is really the pain that you feel when you get a new device, right? You can get it up and running, but there's just those tweaks that you have to keep making to get the settings back the way you wanted it. If we do our job right, you'll be able to keep that experience as you move between devices, and that pain threshold goes away. Next one, simple and versatile. We've tried to make this very easy for you to decide what you want to roam and how you can get it across the devices. One of the challenges that we've talked to customers about is that when they have devices, it takes so long to go in because it's bringing down everything and doesn't give them the selection and choice that they need. We give you the ability to customize and choose exactly what you want to roam, and you can create these templates and manage those accordingly. And in Windows 8 now, we also give you a way to select the specific Windows 8 apps that you want to roam and manage as well. The other thing that we give you is the ability to roll back. So if you actually do roll the setting out, and for whatever reason you need to get back to that initial state, UEV captures that and provides a way back for you to do that. Next one is integrated and scalable. And when we talk about this, this is all about leveraging what's in your enterprise today. So you shouldn't have to roll out servers and new infrastructure. So if you have Configuration Manager, we have a Configuration Manager pack on top of that. We give it easy and it makes it simple for you to integrate with other tools. And even with group policy, we allow you to do that and manage that across your directories and environment as well. So very simple and easy to use in your environment. Those are the three pillars that we'll talk about. Now, when you're talking about UEV compared to other solutions inside of Microsoft, you can see we compare very favorably. But this chart is not about UEV being, you know, the most checkboxes. That's always nice. But it's about you understanding what is the right solution for you. And this helps you understand UEV strengths. Now, the one piece that's new this morning that I didn't even have time to update since we just announced this morning was roaming Windows 8 application settings. That's new in the beta that we provided today. So you can actually start playing with that as well as all the other features and benefits that you look across there. Okay? So we provide you real opportunities and real ways to manage this. It's not saying roaming user profiles is a bad solution, but if roaming user profiles is not meeting your needs and you're looking forward to go with Windows 7 or Windows 8, maybe there's an option to look at UEV at this point. Microsoft Account is a great solution, provides a wonderful solution in a Windows 8 world, but if you're also having to roam between settings between Windows 7 and Windows 8, we provide a great solution there for you well as you look at your enterprise. All right, so it gives you kind of an idea of how these compare. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about UEV and some of its core strengths specifically. First off, granular control. And you've heard me hit this theme a couple of times as we've talked about it. First one is that you need to be able to define specifically which applications you want to roam settings for. And this is important because one of the complaints we've got from customers is they do not like long login times when it's pulling everything down. Users want to get in very quickly. So scope down the applications that you care the most about. We also have scoped the OS settings to only grab the things that are of most importance as well. So people love their wallpaper, great, you can give them their wallpaper. If you don't want to turn that setting on and you really want to just get them streamlined in and put a default, cool, you can do that. We give you very granular ability to control and manage what you want to do. The other one that's really nice with this is traditional versus virtual desktops. And many of you work in these environments as you're looking at VDI solutions or even have those in place. What a great solution now that you can actually roll this single solution out and have that managed across multiple devices. So whether it's a VDI today and I'm logging in traditional desktop tomorrow, my settings can roam between those devices and provide a very seamless experience for me. The next one is mixed application types, and this is where we talk about application virtualization, which is another layer and level in this, where if I have a traditional desktop application and I have on my RDS server perhaps something like AppV that's roaming and running those settings, I can go ahead and leverage the settings back and forth. We don't really care. So whether it's different desktop environments or different application types, UEV can provide a solid solution for you to deliver that value. Okay. So what's new in the beta? And this is really exciting. As we talk about what's coming out in this next cycle, I encourage everybody, again, to go look at the beta. The blog is on Springboard. You can go up on Springboard and find the link to that. Very easy to pull down. We encourage you to do that. Now, what are the three key things to call out? Number one, tighter integration with Windows 8. We've gone in this release and now support Windows 8 app settings. This gives you the ability to take those beautiful immersive apps and now allow UEV to sync those across the enterprise. And this is a great feature because we've talked to a number of customers that they do not want to roll out Microsoft Account for whatever reason. This gives them a way to be able to take and get that same control and management they've had with desktop applications now leveraged inside of UEV for the enterprise. Now, if you do have Microsoft Account linking, we will detect that, and UEV will get out of the way and allow it to do its thing. That's important because we're about choice and allowing you to work in your enterprise. So if you have users with a lot of personal devices, they're buying the Surfaces and they want to be able to have those settings roam between those and you're allowing Microsoft Account, fantastic. You can use UEV to deliver that premier desktop application experience. That's up to you. We've introduced a new end user interface, and this allows your users to pick and choose a number of different things. One, it puts them in control of the settings they want to synchronize. And I'll introduce this to you, where you'll actually be able to see all the different settings that they can get access to. Makes it very simple and easy. The next one, they can also go ahead and choose what they want to synchronize. This gives them the ability to go in and look at those settings and be able to fine-tune those settings that you want them to be able to do. And there are administrative controls, so you can lock that down, but it also gives them some choice and opportunity there. The next one is improvements to the synchronization engine. And this was a key factor for us as we looked at how we wanted to develop the product going forward. Users want to get into their applications quick, and they want to be able to have things happen in the background seamlessly around them. So we've modified this and done a couple of things. One, we had a dependency originally on offline files. That's gone. We now have our own synchronization tools that manage whether you're connected or not on the network. So if you're on a laptop device, that's great. You can go off the network, work for days, come back on the network, and we'll capture your settings and put them back up at that time. The other thing is we've improved the loading times and capabilities of apps because of the way we integrate with this, that we now provide everything locally so apps have a quick startup and easily managed inside this environment. Very cool features, very, very good thing to have. Please go take a look at this. And again, it's on the Springboard blog. We just announced it this morning. You can go out there and pull it down and start looking at that. All right. So let's help you understand how UEV works, and then I'll walk into a demo and show you actually some of the key features that we just talked about. So UEV has a number of components. The first one we're going to talk about is app monitoring. There's two types of applications we monitor. Desktop applications leverage what we call templates. Desktop applications are what you've been using in Windows 7, Windows XP. These are your traditional applications, and they really don't know much about state management. So what we've done is we've created a technology called templates that allows me to identify the application that I want to monitor and also the settings that I want to synchronize. That's all stored in a template. Windows 8 apps are pretty cool. They're a lot smarter. They're much more advanced. Not only do they look great, but they've got some really cool things in them that allow us to manage state. As a developer, when they create a Windows 8 app, they are able to determine what settings they want to roam. So all we have to do as UEV is we've plugged into that API, and we will roam whatever that developer has told us is roamable. What's really cool about that is it gets us in a very supportable, manageable state for you. It puts the vendor in the state of allowing them to determine what settings are managed and supported in a roaming environment, and allows us to provide a quality of service to get those across the environment. So very cool. So that's the first level, is app monitoring. So on our desktop there, by number one, we have our UEV agent. It provides that capability to monitor those two types of applications and give us that. Now, what we're looking for is actually a couple of things. For desktop applications, we're looking for settings that are stored in the registry and in the local file system. The key to note on this is that we're only monitoring for changes, and we're looking only as local user. Now, the one piece I didn't update on this is the only other place we're looking is for the roaming settings folder for the Windows 8 app that we may be monitoring. That's the third area we're looking for. But this allows us to actually grab the settings in those locations. We're not doing some super Uber thing, so it has to be managed in the rights. So if you have a bad app that's writing to the root of C, can't help you. We're only going to grab it in the good areas. And again, only grabbing the changes, and that's important so UEV isn't doing high utilization and hurting things in the background. Okay, next it's all about the setting actions. So when do we do something? Okay, so we're looking at this for when triggers detect settings. So by a trigger, that is something like a user launching an app. When I launch an app, I'll go see if there's new settings. When I close an app, we'll see that the app is closing if it's a monitored app, and we will go ahead and see if settings have changed. If those settings have changed, we'll capture those and update them on the network so other devices get them. The cool thing about this is we manage initial settings, which is the one when it first starts, and then we allow it to be current. So if you ever have to roll back, we give you that capability. The next part of this is we actually have the sync controller. The sync controller behaves on a timer. It's a scheduled task. And you can adjust it. By default, it's 30 minutes out of the box and allows you to go ahead and control that. And that's where we get that background syncing that's going on. If you want to crank that down, you can. I've cranked it down quite a bit in our demo for what we'll be doing today, but it'll give you an idea of how you can manage and do this. The next one is, where do I store the settings? I need a central location. And this is what we call the setting storage path. This is an SMB share on the network. Doesn't require any server components. You're just going to give it a location. You're going to configure the AD home directory, or you're going to put it inside of the configuration when you install UEV. And once you've done that, then you've got a nice setup for where this goes. So we need to have our agent, we need to have the configuration, and then a place to go look for the files, which is on the setting storage path. So how does this look? So what happens is, when I go ahead and launch an application, in this instance Word, once it launches, I'm going to go ahead and capture settings. So we'll say our settings are here. Once that app closes, those settings are going to be captured of any changes or updates that they've made on that. Those settings then will be roamed out to the settings store by the sync provider. The sync provider is what pushes that out and makes that available for any other network, any other device that you're using that subscribes to grab that. At that point then, when their sync controller on one of the other devices goes ahead and pulls that down, that becomes available on that other machine. When that application's launched, they now have the latest settings. In this instance, this represents an app V application, which works just great. I can have a traditional application on one device, an app V application on another, and UEV will go ahead and successfully roam the settings. And this is how it all works and provides that capability for you across the network. So with that said, let's walk in and look at a couple of things and see how this comes together Let me go ahead and get this cleared up over here for just a second. All right. Okay, let me switch. Okay, what I've got here is two boxes. Okay, I've got client one and client two, very creative names that took me hours to come up with. All right, so in here we want to go ahead and work on a couple of things, and we'll do some basics to kind of walk through some of these principles. So I'm going to go ahead. Most people don't usually start by having two machines up side by side, so I'm going to go ahead and log off on this one. So we actually are working with this so we can see kind of a real-world scenario. So in this instance, I'll come over to this box, and we'll walk through a couple of the components. Now, to kind of see what's synchronizing on here, let's walk through some of the things that have changed. I said there was a new UI. You can get to that new UI in a couple of places. You can come down here to the Company Settings Center. It's just down in the system tray, makes it really easy to get to. It's also, if you come back and search on the main screen, it's in here. And then we also provide it inside of Control Panel. So your users have a number of different ways to come in and find it in this. Okay, Company Settings Center. They can go in and get this in a number of different areas. So I've already got it launched down here. I'll just go ahead and pull it up. And in here, you can actually see the different components we're set. So this is the default configuration. I don't turn on desktop settings or ease of access settings. But if you want to turn those on, you can. These are things like your folder options and different configurations like that. Ease of access, obviously the look and feel. Theme is where you actually have your background roam, though. This is the one that most people like. We've left that on by default. And then application settings, we have a big button here that turns off all application setting syncing or not. So if I open this up, you'll see a list of all the applications that UEV is currently able to synchronize settings for. You can see it's quite a few. We have multiple versions of IE, Office, and these are all installed. Here's all the new Windows 8 apps. You can see those listed here. All of these are installed, but they only work if the application is actually on there. UEV monitors for the specific version of the EXE, so it knows what it's looking for, so you're not causing initial drag on the system by having these other things in there. But this provides the interface for you to see it. Now, remember I said the sync controller is on a schedule. So we've also, if you're having problems synchronizing, we've given you the ability to actually come in and see sync now if you need to do that. The one thing I'll show you, I'll jump back here to my host for a second, is I said we also detect if we're synced to Microsoft account. So I'll open this up on my host, and you can kind of see what this looks like. I've connected my host to Microsoft account, and we actually detect that. We tell you up front what's going on, and that limits the number of things that I'm synchronizing to. So what you'll see is all of those OS settings get out of the way, and all I'm synchronizing now are the traditional desktop applications as well. So it just provides a seamless experience, make sure that we're syncing the right things and doing the right thing there. So let's go ahead and play with a couple of things and kind of get a feel for how this works. So we're going to go ahead and change a few things. So what I want to do is let's jump in and we'll start with a really basic app like Calculator. Everybody loves Calculator. I'm going to come in here and do a couple of things that maybe you don't do with your calculator, but for purposes of what we're doing here, we'll do it. We'll just come in here, I'll make a programmer calculator, and because it's such a big thing for me to do a mortgage, I'm going to really have some real functions over here on this. I've made this nice and big and capable. The next thing I want to do is I want to come in and I want to launch Word, and we'll go ahead and customize a couple things in Word. So we've gone from a simple app to something a little more complex. Hopefully all of you work with Word and do things here. I'm going to come in and change a couple things. I don't quite like my background, so I'm going to come in here and change that to something maybe a dark blue. And let's go and customize our toolbar. Let's go ahead and click OK here. And, I meant to do the toolbar. My apologies. We'll go ahead and do a quick access toolbar. And we'll drag a couple things over here. I do a lot of email, so I'll just go ahead and drag that over here on this side so you can kind of see that. And I write a lot of documents with bullets. My engineers love that, so I'll put bullets in there. And you can see those two items are up there. Okay, so if I'm writing something, this is my demo. And I'll put in a couple of bullets here. Hi, there, Madrid. Okay, and we'll save that, and I'll just save file save. Okay, and I'll just put this out to my local drive here, to my network drive on TIM. And I'll just say this is my demo. Sounds good. All right, so I've got that. I've got that set up. I'll go ahead and close that. Now, the next thing I want to do is I want to customize my experience here. So I'm going to go and customize that desktop. I want to get some pictures on there. So I went out and did a little sightseeing. Hopefully all of you have had a chance to go sightseeing a little bit in Madrid. Did you see the big salamander lizard thing here? I thought that was pretty cool. Let's see what else we've got on here. Tell me if you like one of these. We'll go ahead and put on. This was over the Egyptian temple. Very cool. If you haven't been there, they actually have an Egyptian temple in Madrid. Didn't know that. That's your handsome presenter talking right there. Let's see what else we've got. This was, I think, the Royal Palace. Oh, there we go. There's the Royal Palace. I like that one. That's what I'm going to vote for. Nice gardens, right? And, enjoying the local cuisine. Got that one. And did you all get a shot of the bears? Had to get one of those to send to my kids. Okay, so we got that. So let's go here. We'll put on, let's do the palace. Where was the palace one? I like that one. How about that one? That look good? All right, we'll set that as my desktop background. Okay, so now I've got this nice setup here. So I've got this configured. We've changed some apps. We've changed some things. So now I'm going to be like one of your ordinary users here. We're going to go and we'll go ahead and sign out from this device. Okay, so now one of the triggers at this point is signing out. We talked about triggers. So you saw a couple of triggers in action. One was going through and changing an application. And then when I closed it, those settings were captured and roamed out to the network. And then also signing out and or locking a machine is another trigger. So I've done a couple of those on that device. Now we'll come over here. Let's go ahead and log in. What you should see is as it comes up, we'll see the background change. Or should. If not, we'll have a quick lesson in troubleshooting. Okay, let me go check here and see what I've done. Okay, so what I'll do, let's just check a couple things here. So on this device, this is a good chance to introduce how this works. So we've got our local system. So it writes the local app data folder, and it writes to our local folder here. These are all the settings that I've synchronized so far. Oh, there it went. So that was the sync controller hadn't run. Okay, so what I did in this demo, that kicks it off. When you log in, when you log off, it pushes it up, and when you sign in, it pulls it down. One of the things that I forgot in the demo that I didn't tweak was there's a slight delay when you log in, so we don't slow down login. So it actually ran on schedule like it should, but it pulled it down. Okay, so that's okay. We're still learning. We're going to walk through this here with you. So here it is, all the local settings. Now, when I said it captures the initial and current, there's where those are. So under the machine folder is what I call this, my UEV demo client 1, I have my current initial settings. And then what it does, it queues it up in what we call the local sync folder, where this is where the sync provider picks it up. So the sync provider picks it up in here. This is actually a hidden folder. And in here is where you see all of these. Now you have to look at the date on the file inside. The PKJX file is just a little zip file that we create to actually carry the settings. And then it puts it there. Once it goes from here, it sits there and waits for that sync provider to run. The sync provider runs by default every 30 minutes. I've cranked mine down to every minute. And it copies it out to a central store. In this instance, I'm using my AD home directory. Okay? And then once it's out there, we just pull it down on our local machine just in the reverse order. So it pulls it down based on that. And I'll walk through that with the sync provider here in a minute. So that gives you a quick idea. So let's see how things worked on this side, if we indeed truly had these settings roamed. So let's go ahead and launch Word. Okay? And if I go into Word, you'll see up top in my toolbar is, again, my mail and also my bullets. Okay? You'll also see the color matches. And then one of the things we did is we came over here. If we look in my recent documents, there is my demo file. Now, the key on this, and this is why I did this, is one of the values that you can get is when you roam settings, if you marry that with data roaming as well. Now, in this instance, I did data roaming just by simply saving it to my home drive, right? So as I roam between devices, it's there. And then what UEV did was simply roam that recent document setting to that other device. So it's still pretty cool and provides real value, so I'm able to go in there. I'll go ahead and open that just to prove that it is. This is my demo. Hi there, Madrid, and it's in. Okay, so very simple, shows how to roam between devices, Gives you a feel for that. What else did we roll? We rolled calculator. Let's pull up calculator real quick. There's my fancy programmatic mortgage calculator. Depending on how home prices go, you may need one of those. So could be one of those things. Okay, so that is traditional desktop applications. Now let's talk about roaming Windows 8 apps. So these apps are really cool and provide a really great look and feel, but they do behave differently. Remember, we talked about how we use a setting template and we're looking at triggers. Windows 8 apps are a little bit different, and I'm going to play with this for a second and show you how this works. So we're going to come in here and do a basic app. What we've done in this is we've shipped basically support for the default apps that come inside of Windows. So in here, I've gone into the good old forecast app here, and we'll go back and look at this main page. I'm on Madrid, Spain, right? So we're here in Madrid. What I want to do is let's go ahead and add a place. So here I've added Salt Lake City, Utah. That's close to where I live. I live a little further south in a little place called Lehi. So we're going to go ahead and add Lehi, Utah. Okay. So I've got that there. I'm going to come back and click on Lehi, Utah. And what I want to do is go ahead and set it as my default. All right. Now, I'm going to leave that up for a second just so you can kind of see over here. I'm going to come on this side. And if I launch it, you'll see it's set at Madrid, and we'll just come in here, just to tempt fate. And I'll look in here, and we'll go to places. So you can see I don't have it over here right now, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and just close this. We'll get that out so it's out of the way. All right, so I've got my settings over here. Now, what we're working on is one of the things on settings is it's the last writer wins. We looked at different algorithms, different methods to say, what if I'm in multiple apps, multiple things? What if I roam off the network? At the end of the day, we decided the best and easiest way is to actually persist the settings the user uses last. So that's what we're going to do here. So I haven't captured the settings on the machine on the right. Okay, so I closed the ones on the left. Now I've got these. Again, we looked in here, so we have our places. We have Lehi as our default. Okay, over there it was Madrid. And looks good. Okay. Now, one of the things in immersive apps, or Windows 8 apps, I should say, is if I come out of it, it loses focus. Now, what we do in this instance, we do some interesting things. We actually give you the capability to know when the app is running or not. And when it's running in the background like that, it'll actually get turned off after time. It gives it a couple minutes to kind of run there and be there, and then it'll actually turn off. What UEV is doing is UEV is watching for when these apps go away. And when the app goes away, turns off essentially, goes to sleep, that's when we capture the settings. Okay? So if you really want to have some fun and excitement, you can open Task Manager and watch for it. It takes about 30 seconds or so to capture the setting. In our instance, we can actually even go a little crazier and look here locally in this and go see if it's actually listed in here. So there's weather. And I can go into the current folder and see that it was written at 143. We're currently at 144, so it captured most likely my latest setting. You don't need to do that. I'm just doing that for demo purposes. But now we need to make sure that setting got up to the server. Now, once it's captured, the sync provider is going to take that and push it up, and then the sync provider on the other end needs to pull it down. I have this cranked down to 1 minute. But if you did want to do some testing and make sure it gets there, you can come in, this UI, say sync now, and that'll force it to make sure it gets up to the network. Now we'll come over here to this other device. These are dynamic, and I'm going to make sure that that setting gets down. Again, I have this cranked down, but I'm going to just make sure. We'll go ahead and say sync now. Come over on this one. We'll go into our weather app. And what you should see is it should capture that setting and make Lehi the default. Then if I go in here and look at my settings, my favorites, you'll see that all the places indeed are listed like they should be. Works smooth, works great, gives you a nice easy way. You can play with this. Easy way to test this in your labs is to use weather, stock ticker. Gives you a good way to just kind of play with these and see how these roam. And again, depending on how your users use these, you shouldn't have to be hitting sync now and so forth. It's all in how they manage the devices and work between them to pull those around. Okay. I think that gives you a good idea. The one piece I wanted to just show before I jump out of this was actually the scheduled tasks for where these are happening. The sync provider, or sync controller, rather. So let's look here under settings, schedule tasks. And as you look in here, we've actually added about four scheduled tasks. Actually, there's five, I believe. So one is if you want to provide us customer information, that we can customer experience improvement program. So one is collecting and one is uploading. If you don't agree to that or sign up for it, that task will never send anything up. It doesn't even capture. The monitoring app is actually what we're using to monitor applications and actually watch for those triggers. The next one is the sync controller itself. And the sync controller is the application that goes ahead and runs. Again, you can come in here and force it to just say run and it'll push it up or pull down. And then synchronized settings, this is actually another one that I'll show. That one of the issues we had from some customers was when they closed the app, when they closed Windows, it would come up and not always capture all the settings because of the way applications were closing. We've modified that and provided a great tool now that should capture all the settings even when you're exiting, which is a key thing for those of you in a VDI environment where users are shutting their sessions down, provides real value and tools there. All right. That's your quick whirlwind tour of the UEV on the client. Any quick questions? Over here, sir. Real quick and loud. Okay, so the question was, if you installed a new Windows 8 app, would that automatically be synchronized with UEV? And the answer is, in the beta, we provide an app list that you can actually add it in. So you would have to install it and go ahead and add it. But we've heard that feedback and are looking at providing default options there that would make that happen. Okay? Right here. So the question was, we use folder redirection. Can we use the same folder to store UEV data in? I'd have to walk through the scenario. I mean, Aaron's telling me yes, but it's just a matter of who's doing the movement. Yeah, so the comment was he's got customers looking for the things or using roaming or folder redirection, rather, to provide a poor man's roaming profiles. Married with UEV, we could deliver a premier solution, yes. It's just how you configure that. We'd want to just make sure that the settings, storage path is configured right and we're not conflicting when it's roaming. That's my only concern. So grab one of us after. We'll walk through the scenario with you. But that's a great question. Okay, let's move on, and we'll answer more as we go through the presentation. And I'll come back. We'll do some more demos, too, that will walk through some of the other questions you may have. All right, there's our UEV demo. We completed that. Let's talk about deployment. Okay, so hopefully you're in your chair thinking, Tim, this looks great. I would love to get this in my environment. How can I do that? Well, you're in the right place because I'm going to tell you. Hopefully we can give you that information. There's four areas or ways that we talk about our methodology to deploy. Number one, this is all about configuring the storage location. I'll give you some guidance on that. Two, configure the workstations with the UEV agent. Should be simple, something you guys do with applications all the time. Three, you're going to select the different settings location templates and now Windows 8 apps as well that you'll want to have in your environment. And four, go ahead and deploy and manage those templates in your environment. Okay, so let's walk through the scenarios and talk about each of these, starting, of course, with our storage location. Number one. So we talk about this is the storage location, you kind of need to think about planning. UEV doesn't include a server component, but you still need to think about how much disk space it's going to be. Settings are typically small. Packages are less than 5 meg each on average, and even actually a lot smaller on the average. Most of our customers are planning a very small amount per user. I'm trying to think of what MSIT had in their system when they rolled out. But I think it was somewhere where they planned around 5 or 10 meg per user because, again, it depends on the size of the settings you're going to have. That's probably even generous. So just be aware that you need to come up with some model for sizing. We're still getting feedback from what customers are seeing in the real world, but this is just kind of what we've seen internally. Next, you've got to think about how you're going to give them that configuration. There's two options. One is using the Active Directory home drive. What's great about that is that gives you an immediate dispersion of where these are being stored. We actually create the setting storage package, like I said, or setting store is actually a hidden folder. So it can reside in there without the user getting too crazy with it, hopefully. They have to have rights there, obviously, because we're writing as the user. But it will be hidden, so they can actually go ahead and just do their things, and 9 times out of 10 won't see it. If you want to create a separate storage location, you can do that. But there is a gotcha with that. You need to make sure from a rights perspective that you're managing that accordingly. And that's what we're talking about here. If you're going to create a new folder share, you need to make sure that you permission this correctly so each user can create their own folders, but not go out and browse everybody else's settings. Now, settings in and of themselves typically aren't insecure. Today, we're not capturing passwords and other things like that that could put you at risk. But you want to make sure that they are still unique. So in here, you're going to want to set your NTFS permissions. I've got information on there. And then if you set those correctly, the UEV agent will actually create and secure each user's folder for them. Now, because I'm not going to talk through the entire process, I've given you a link in the presentation that will take you in our documentation where it gives explicit instructions on each of these. But at the end of the day, if the NTFS rights are set correctly, the UEV agent knows how to interpret that and will do the right behavior and create those for you accordingly. Okay? So with two of those options, home directory or this, you're set to move to our next level, which is deploying the agent. Now, when I've talked to people and they've talked about getting this up and running, this is probably the easiest part. If you're talking about a pilot, you can go back and go ahead and launch the EXE. It's graphical, just clickety, clickety, click. You're through and you've got this up and running on two machines very fast. If you want to roll it out to a small pilot and do some testing here, since we've got the beta available, you're going to want to configure it as you install it and probably use a command line options, and we'll walk through that. The main gotcha every time we work with customers is they'll go back and they will set up a pilot, and they'll go ahead and install it, and they'll just maybe walk around with a USB key or put it on a network share, and people will run the EXE. If you don't have an AD home directory, we will not prompt you for a setting storage location, and UEV will do nothing. Okay, and that's typical of what most people have in a lab. They may not have all that configured. So make sure you set a setting storage path. And I'll give you some examples of how to do that. If you're doing command line, I'll give you examples as well. Now, prereq checks. In the 1.0 client, we do check for offline files. That goes away in the beta. And then we've also raised our requirement to .NET 4.5 on Windows 8 and higher. So just be aware of that. All right. And, oh, the last one was it does require a reboot. So if you are looking at automating this, we do require a reboot in order to capture the OS settings. So just make sure you plan on that in your rollout. So this is a standard deployment option. We do include the MSIs to make this easy for when you install, so you can actually easily import this into Config Manager. Standard way to do it is just agent setup slash quiet. Now, the gotcha on this is the users would need to have AD home set up. If they don't have AD home, what's going to happen with this? The agent's going to be dormant. The agent's not going to have anywhere to set, so the agent will just sit there and not really do anything. Okay? So that's an option to make it dormant, but you want to really actually have it go somewhere. So that's where you do it this. So the setting set, easy for me to say. The setting storage location is easily passed on the command line parameter by adding setting storage path. Not too bad. Not too cryptic. Easily you can put that in there. And again, you can use variables. In this instance, we're using the username attribute, so it'll actually pull that out. This is a great example of if I've gone out and created my NTFS share with the file rights, the UEV agent will go ahead and do the right thing here as it creates my directory for me with the appropriate rights. Next one. How many of you are running VDI? Do we have some VDI people here? How many times do you take a client off the VDI network? Never. It's always on. That's VDI. Okay. So what we said is VDI means I'm always connected, essentially, right? I'm going to remote in, and that device is always connected to the network. So this concept of sync provider of moving stuff up and down isn't required. So what we've provided is an option to say none. And what that means is instead of UEV writing locally and then the sync provider pushing to the network, UEV will always write to the network. This is great in a VDI environment. It's really bad in a laptop. because most of you are not connected all the time with a laptop. So that's why we've done the one use case. But sync method equals none, again, provides you a very easy way to make sure for your always on, always connected devices, they've got a premier experience that's going to work great. The one gotcha on this is if a service is down, UEV is just waiting for that service. So just be aware of that. It's the standard connected environment. Okay, next one, per user enablement. This one came out of our 1.0 beta, so I'm hoping you guys can also give us some great feedback like this for our 2.0 beta. We had a customer that said, I want to put this in my golden image, but I'm not quite ready to roll UEV out through my whole entire enterprise. Is there anything you can do? So we said, great, we came up with this option. And what this allows you to do is put it in the golden image, but essentially tell the agent to be dormant. It won't tie in any of the apps. It won't do any of that. It'll just kind of sit there and wait for further information. And then using group policy or using configuration manager, you can push down the policy to go ahead and enable this and allow that system to go ahead and run. Okay? So this is a great way to actually roll this out. So you can roll that group policy based on department. You could use configuration manager to take and use your collections of machines, depending on how you want to roll it out, based on divisions, groups, or departments, and make it very simple and easy to manage. Okay? Everybody ready to go home and try this now? Okay, hope so. Go get the beta. All right, next one. Select and create location templates. Now, these are great for the traditional apps, and this is where we want to look at this. Templates, essentially, for desktop applications, provide us a method to know which registry settings we're looking at and which file locations we're looking at to get the settings. Now, they're XML formatted documents, very simple. They're fairly human readable as you go through this, things like application name, ID, version, process, those kind of things. But we give you three choices to manage these and hopefully make it easier. If you don't want to be into that world, great. You can go ahead and just leverage inbox templates. Awesome. We provide inbox. I'll show you what those are, a number of solutions. We also allow you to customize, create your own if you'd like. I'll show you how that works. And then finally, hopefully you're falling in this camp where if you find something and you build it, you want to share it, we have community-provided templates as well that you can also leverage. So with that, let's walk through each of these scenarios and tell you what they are. Our inbox templates. These are installed by default with the agent. You don't have to do anything, and they just are there. They come down as part of it. This allows us to provide a good, solid, supportable set of templates for you that are automatically included. That means out of the box, you can get up and running. So things like Office 2010, 2007, one second, sir, and then IE, and of course, those basics that you get with Windows. Desktop settings, you can see those that we provide, controls that manage your folder options, different things, theme and ease of access and so forth. And then finally, the one that is a common question we get is, are Office 2013 templates coming? One of the great things that I encourage you all to look at Office 365 is they do include their ability to actually synchronize settings as part of that function. So please take a look at that. We actually have a KB article that can give you more details on that. Okay, there's a question over here, sir. Say it a little louder. I couldn't quite hear you. Oh, syncing the start screen settings on Windows 8.1. We don't do that in Windows 8, and we haven't committed to that feature for 8.1 yet. So, but it's not, that's something we're strongly looking at. I'll put it that way. Okay. All right, next one. Let's move on to creating custom templates. Okay, Microsoft does a good job of trying to understand what you need, but we also know that there are thousands of applications in most of your environments. So you will have some custom templates. Now, if you have 1,000 applications in your enterprise, I would probably suggest that not all of those 1,000 need to have their settings roamed. So think about what subset that is. And the thing I look at is what is the pain threshold? If you were to replace a user's machine, what is their pain threshold of losing settings? Okay, we know it's very high for data, but think of the amount of time it takes them to reconfigure, recustomize, and things like that. So maybe you have your graphics department that has some particular applications certain ways. Maybe you're in the medical field and there's some other applications. Identify which applications you're going to need. I would suggest it's going to be something less than all, but I don't know if that's 5% in your enterprise or 10% of your apps or 50%. That's up for you to determine. But what we allow you to do is in these desktop applications, we provide a tool called Generator that allows you to go ahead and create these templates. It'll generate those. So you launch the application, it'll look to see where the settings are being stored, and it'll go ahead and create that. And then you can distribute that across your enterprise and make these available to users. A very cool way to do it. We'll walk through a demo and actually create one for you so you can see how this is done. Okay, next one is our example of what these templates look like. Oh, question, sir? So the question was, is there a roadmap that Microsoft can automatically generate those so you don't have to discover them? Is that what the question was? Yeah, so the question was, can we automate that? Essentially, I'll just shorten it. The answer is, we've done some automation. Watch what I've done in Generator. I think we're better. With Windows 8 apps, all this goes away. And that's kind of cool, because Windows 8 apps, you don't define the settings. You just tell us what apps you want to track, and we'll do that for you. So are we getting better? Yes. Whether or not we'll go all the way you're asking for with traditional desktop apps, provide us that feedback, and we'll see. It's not there today. But I'll show you what we do in Generator, and it's pretty good. I think you'll be pleased. If you compare it to AppV sequencing, because they're different natures, ours is a lot less. We're not trying to watch the whole interaction of the OS. We're just looking for settings. So it's pretty fast and seamless. But I think it sounds like you may have some ideas. So let's talk after and give us some feedback. All right, okay, so how's our format look like? Pretty basic. Up top, you can see the type of app, the name of the app you're doing. Next, you can see the version of the app. And again, these can span across multiple. So that all-powerful application calculator, there's one version of it that works across Windows 7 and Windows 8, even though there's multiple versions of calculator. And you can do that across multiple applications. It just depends on the app and if settings have changed for it. Then you have your settings down below. So you have registry settings, and you have file settings. And you'll notice that I can actually be prescriptive or I can be very general. So in this instance, you'll see I'm using a command here called recursive, which basically says anything under this, grab all the settings. So there's a pretty good strong possibility in this instance that everything under Adobe Reader Acrobat 10.0 in the registry is going to be settings for that. So we've discovered that as far as looking at it. And we've put some other logic in there to try to build these correctly. But the majority of the time, 90%+ of the cases we've looked at with applications, the generator works awesome and works great. Where it hasn't is on exclusively really complex applications that have high interaction with other applications. And a great example of that is Office. We learned early on when we built our Office applications that there was quite a high bit of interaction between them. And so they are kind of a special case template that I'll talk about when we get into custom templates. That use a more prescriptive format rather than the standard format we're showing here. Okay, so let's talk about that step of where you're going and customizing templates. So one of the common questions I get is, Tim, I went in and looked at the OS settings template and I want to make some changes. Okay, you can do that, but when you're talking about OS setting templates or you're talking about the Office templates, we support those because we ship them in box. So if you do make changes, if you end up calling customer support, they'll do their best to help you, but they may have to reset you back. If you are making changes, that's great. You just need to make sure, and that's why I've got my little warning mark here, that you're looking at these very specific things and validate it against the XSD or use the generator. Okay? And there's things that you can do that aren't normally done in there, things like registry and file exclusions, separate architectures, shell process designation. All these are things that we've had to do as we looked at our OS templates and as we looked at our Office templates that we had to create these. So you can look inside those and you'll see some of these unique commands. We're actually working on a white paper that will document those for those apps that you have. For example, I was working with a law firm that had a very specific plug-in for Word. Okay, so they were looking at modifying our application to make sure all that tied in the way that they wanted. So that's an example of when you may want to do something like that if you're getting creative. Okay, so let's walk in and do some template creation. Okay, we'll come back over here. And actually, let's go on this one. We'll come over this box. Okay, I'm going to go into client one, and what we want to do is we're going to launch a generator. Okay, this is the tools.exe that comes with it. There's two exes that are available for UEV. One is the agent, and the other is tools. Tools is actually the UEV generator that's installed, and it gives you three options: create a settings location template, edit it, or validate it. Okay, we're going to start by creating it. Now, creating it, pretty simple. Just ask you some very basic things. Let's go ahead and launch it. So I need to go find where that application is. In this instance, I'm going to browse in here. Let's go down to Program Files, and I'm going to actually use Microsoft Expression. We're going to do Designer, and we'll go ahead and launch this. Now you can actually use shortcuts. I'm just going right to it, makes it easier. And it's going to go ahead and launch it. So what we've done is we give you a little warning here on the side, kind of letting you know that we're running in the background. And then you'll go ahead and see the application pull up here on it. Now, again, the large use case for most applications is they're going to come up and they're going to read settings as they come up. They're going to go look in their registry and file system. And then they're going to, when they close, they're going to go ahead and write settings in those areas. What we will do in UEV is we watch those. So the majority of the time, you can go ahead and launch an application and close it and catch the majority of the settings. What I would suggest, however, though, is there's a couple things that are different. How many of you use AppVy? Do we have some AppVy users here? Okay. If you've used AppVy, you know that sequencing, you want to use a clean environment, right, to make sure I get everything that that's working with. This is a little bit different. You can actually launch the generator on any machine that you have because settings are going to be all over that device for that particular application. So sometimes it's actually better to run generator on a device that's been running for some time to make sure all the settings are captured. Again, rarely have I seen too many settings go out of the wild, but if there's a particular setting that you absolutely want to get, you can always come in and actually make that change and just make sure it captures it. So you would come in and just play around and say, you know what, I need to make sure that it captures this one setting. So I'm going to go under Tools Options. I really want to make sure it captures this change, so I'm going to change this one to dark. And we'll go ahead and say OK. And that way I know that a setting will be written when it writes out. Again, most of the time it will be. But again, like I said, you don't have a dependency to have a dedicated VM for this. You can run it on any app and actually capture most of the settings. OK, so I've made some changes. I've gone in there. Now the app is going to go ahead and recognize anything that's happened. I've got the green checkbox. That's always a good thing. I'm going to go ahead and click Next. And now it's bringing me to the review what those changes are. So I see that I have in my registry just one basic area, one registry and subkey. Okay, that's fine. I also have a non-standard. Now, what we've done is we've gone through and looked at these, and we basically have said there's certain settings that we know are good, and there's certain settings that are bad. Well, there's actually three groups. If you have a dirty app that's writing to places where the local user can't go, those are automatically thrown out. Okay, we don't go anywhere the local user can't. So those are never discovered and never shown to you. But we've also discovered that the user can get some things that are probably not the best. So in this instance, I'm talking about a graphic application, and if you look at this setting, this is basically a hardware setting for a WISP pen. Now, if you know in your environment for this app that every device that's going to be using this is going to have that, you could go ahead and say, you know what, let's go ahead and allow that. But if not, you may just want to leave it out. Okay? So I'm going to go ahead and leave it out. I don't think I'm going to be using a WISP pen since I don't have one plugged into my demo. I'll go ahead and leave that out. So great, we've made a good decision there. Now if you look over here on the standard side, you can see that they're actually setting quite a few settings in roaming, which is great. And they have one non-standard. And again, if we drilled in, you can kind of see what this is, but it's probably tied to the hardware-specific things. And again, we do give you the chance to override those, but I'm going to just have confidence that we've done the right thing and go ahead and say next. Here you can kind of see the metadata that we store. You can actually modify this, adjust it. If you're going to share this template up on the UEV gallery on TechNet, just make sure you know what you're putting in here. I encourage you to do that, but we just don't want you to share more information like your email address if you don't want to. Okay, we'll go ahead and say that's good. We'll save it to not there. Let's go to my documents folder, and I'll go ahead and save this as design 2. Actually, I'll put it on my home drive. Okay, and we're done. So we've got that. So I'll close now. I can go in and say edit it, and that'll just pull me back to this view so I can kind of see what those settings are. But if I go out and look at this folder, let's go open this up in my home directory. There's design 2. Let's just go open it in IE so you can kind of see. Here you can see it looks just like the other one we did. Again, I've got the name up here, version information, and then down below you can see all those registry and file paths that were put in there. Okay? So pretty straightforward, pretty easy to do. So that is your template. Now, if I did come in here and make some changes, you can show it as invalid. It'll actually run it through the XSD. Because of time, I'm not going to do that. But again, you could use the template generator to go ahead and validate it. So if you're doing some customization, doing some of those things that I gave you fair warning about, just make sure you validate it or you're going to not have good success. Okay, so that's that. Let's go ahead and flip back to the presentation for a minute. Okay, we talked about creating templates. Let's talk now about managing these and how we do that in the enterprise. So what we have is we've rolled out a technology called catalogs to help this. So what this provides is a common location where you can store these templates so machines can actually get those. Now what this does is this means I don't have to go to every machine and check it and those things. Makes it very easy. The agent actually pulls this on a nightly basis at 3:30 a.m. in the morning. Makes it pretty easy, very cool, easy to get. If you want to update these, you can actually let the defaults be installed, and then you can go ahead and put any differences out in those. If you want to manage and not install the default templates and manage everything via the catalog, you can do that as well. But just be aware, you do need to run some overrides on the agent install. We have that in our documentation. But you can actually do that so everything is centralized in there if you would like. Now, Windows 8 and 8.1 apps are a little different. They don't use templates. They don't use catalogs. These actually are used to synchronize today inbox apps. Okay? Now, to sync additional apps in the beta, you're going to need to use what we call the app list. And I'll show you where this is in a minute. And what you actually add in that app list, that app is identified by the name of the Windows 8 app. In Windows 8 apps, they use what they call package family names. And what's really cool about this, and this is, kind of gives you a glimpse of the future with this, is a package family name is unique across versions. And what's really nice is, again, it's up to the developer of how they manage that between versions, but you just simply put that in, and then they will manage that between there. You don't have to have multiple versions controlling and managing. We've made that global. Very nice. And then Windows 8 app settings, we said we don't control those. That's all done by the developer, so you need to make sure you look at what the developer has in their documentation so you know what, indeed, settings will roam. So with that, let's go in and do a couple of quick demos on this. All right, so we created our template, and we rolled that out to my home directory, right? So I'm going to go ahead and grab Design 2. That was the one we did. I'm going to go ahead and copy that. And let's go to my server where I have my catalog. And funny enough, I called it UEV catalog. And I'm going to go ahead and drop it in there. Now, what this is going to do is it's going to give me the capability to grab that. Now, normally this would not happen until 3:30 in the morning, right? So we're just going to go in and kick the system a little bit and run it manually. So I'll go in and run the scheduled task. Just so we can see this here. Oops. Let's try UEV. And this is the template auto update. just go ahead and say run. And I'll do the same thing over here real quick. Oops, scheduled. And what this does is that task goes out, grabs the latest templates, and we'll register it. So we can come in here. I'll run it on this one as well. Okay, so this is the one we just created. So now what I'll do is let's go in here and launch Expression. Again, Expression Designer. And what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and change a setting or two in here. So what I want to do is I've got this up. Let's go ahead and do a couple things. Let's go ahead and drag this up to the top, our toolbar. There we go. And I'm going to get rid of layers. And let's go ahead and change our background again to something. Let's go workspace. And we've only got two options, so we'll go light. Okay, so I've changed some settings. I've moved the toolbar, called off layers, got that. We'll click OK. All right, so now that's going to run. Again, that's going to synchronize in the background. Let's just go ahead and make sure that that goes. For time, I'm just going to hit sync now. And then we'll go ahead and pull that down over here as well. Okay. And then on this side, let's go ahead and launch Expressions. And what you'll see is, with that new template we just created, all right, we're able to go ahead and roll that out, subscribe to that, and not have it sync. That's just my luck for the morning. Let me do a quick check here. We'll do a quick check on our local store and see if it came down. UV demo, Expressions. We'll do this one more time. Let me just sync in, and maybe I didn't get my catalog. Yeah, it didn't come across. Okay, I'd spend some time troubleshooting this, but I don't want to actually run out of time. So let me just do this last thing. We'll run that one more time and then sync here one more time. If it doesn't come down, we'll call it good. Did that get it? Yeah, I apologize. That didn't synchronize down. This is one of the things when I'm rushing through demos, we didn't catch that setting. So I'll look at that in a minute. But that gives you a brief idea of how the templates are. We'll look at that while I'm troubleshooting this and doing another thing here. What I want to do is go ahead and show you where Windows 8 apps are. So what we've done is Windows 8 apps are actually controlled in the registry, and you can control those via policy. But if I go into the registry, I'll just use this as a chance to show you where this stuff is stored. In the registry, we store it under local machine and under current user. So if I come under local machine, look under software, and look under Microsoft. Let's go in here to UEV. You can see agent, you can see the configuration. And in here, we have a Windows 8 app list. This is adjustable via WMI, PowerShell, and gives you this list. And in here, you can see the list of the default apps that are actually included. So one of the questions earlier was, what if I install one? How do I add it? If you're doing a one-off, you can literally open the registry and do this. If you're doing a script, you can actually use PowerShell or WMI to push that. And we have examples of how to do that. And we give you some examples of how you can actually pull those in from the machine, just getting the package family name. And again, you can see all the ones that are installed here. And also inside of the app list over here, you'll see all the running ones listed on the right. Again, all those apps are listed there. Okay? So that gives you a quick idea of how that goes. All right. Let's move on so we can get actually through some questions here at the end. All right. Where's my clicker? Let's talk management for a minute. Okay, so we've given you a little idea of how to manage templates, catalogs, those things. But how do I manage the settings? So we talked about when I roll this out initially, I have parameters I can pass on the command line. But one of the things you can actually do also is go ahead and use Configuration Manager, which we have a configuration pack for UEV. You can also use the ADMX templates, which we have available, that you can provide and use group policy. or you can use PowerShell commandlets directly. And this gives you the best way to actually look at this. So let's talk about the group policy first for a second. These are the settings you have available to you today. This gives you the capability to go up and download off the download center the ADMX templates. We provide them in the MDOP ADMX template download. That gives you for AppV and for UEV. And it gives you these settings. So you can control how these work, how they manage, think timeout, storage path, all of those via group policy. So again, if we talked about things like rolling out the agent dormant, this is how you'd actually install that and pull that forward. If you look at the next one, Configuration Pack, it's available for the Configuration Manager 2012 and provides the capability for you to monitor or mediate the client settings for UEV. This is actually very important, so if somebody's gone in and changed some of the settings, it'll actually remediate it and allows it to be set correctly. Now, in this 1.0 version that's currently out there, you will need to edit some of the scripts to make sure that they are correct, to actually reset it the way that you need it. So like for the setting storage path, that's actually managed in the script. We're looking at improving that going forward, but just to note, you do need to require the script modification for template catalog path and storage path if you want to remediate those automatically. Okay, so that is available and encourage you to go look at that. The next one is PowerShell and WMI. And these allow you to do a number of different tasks. I'm actually going to give you a couple of examples. Maybe we'll even troubleshoot our catalog path issue here. But it'll give you a way that you can actually go in and see this. Things like standard UEV tasks, where things are configured, registering templates, all of those things can be done via that. So one other note, we store and use the registry extensively. So for group policy and PowerShell or WMI, we have an order of precedence of which we install and how we interpret these settings. So it gives you a bit of an idea here. I'll just show you that slide. Bottom line is, understand the order of precedence. So if you're setting things on current user, how that affects local machine and provides that variability. All right, so let's walk in and do just a couple management things here real quick. All right, so in here, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and launch PowerShell. Let's go back here. And we'll run it as administrator so we can actually make some changes. Okay, so what we'll do first is we'll type UEV, get UEV configuration. What this will do is this will show us basically the standard set of default things that are set up and configured on this box. Okay, and what's kind of fun, and this is we'll actually do a quick troubleshoot here. We'll compare side by side, which is always good. Now, I can export this if I wanted to and make the configuration identical between devices. Okay, so over here, I'm just checking to see if my catalog path. Okay, so this is why our demo didn't work. This is what happened. I don't have a catalog path over here. See that? So I have one identified on this side, so that's going to make it really hard for that to work correctly. So we can go ahead and set that real quick. Let's go ahead and say set dash UEV template, actually catalog path. Settings template, set UEV. Boy, am I just like fat fingering this. It's not UEV configuration. There we go. And then we do dash settings template catalog path. And let's go ahead and put that as DC1 slash, and let's match it over here if Tim's actually going to read this correctly, UEV catalog. And of course, I would hit it wrong. What did I do wrong, Aaron? I've got my helpers on the front row. It's great. Everybody needs one of those in the office. Okay, so now I've got that. If we go back and hit UEV config, there you go. Now it's set. So I could actually go run that template catalog. Let's actually just do this real quick. I've got to have my demo work all the way. I'll feel bad all day if I don't. Okay, so we'll go ahead and get that updated. I can actually go ahead and say, get dash UEV templates, and it'll actually list all the templates that I have registered. So I can actually go look and see if we have that on there. And there it is. Sure enough, Expression did install. So now, remember, we changed our settings over here. So if now I go launch Expression, I can pull that up. We should ideally see, actually I didn't set my pull my settings down. But if I pull the settings down now, it would actually capture that because it's got those, has a template in place. Okay? So that's a quick way to troubleshoot. The other thing that I wanted to show on troubleshooting, and I've got 5 minutes before I have to show this, but let's pull up the event logs. The other nice thing to troubleshoot in here is the event logs are pretty extensive and gives you great capability if we actually go in the correct one here. Microsoft User UEV, and under App Agent in the operational log, you can go through and see all the stuff that happens. So here, change in the settings template catalog has been found. You can go up and you can kind of see this. User settings for location template name have been successfully applied to the local machine. Data update has been done. Okay, so you can kind of see everything that goes on in the logs we track and give you a quick way to troubleshoot and see it. Again, the PowerShell interface, pretty extensive. You saw how I can do some quick troubleshooting, figure out what's wrong, quickly dive in and actually make sure the settings are correct. Okay? So that's a quick whirlwind tour of settings. Let's jump out. Okay. That did not switch back. Okay. All right. Because I didn't have time to run through all of these, this is an example of all the PowerShell of a number of the PowerShell commandments, some of the ones that are the more helpful ones. I encourage you to try these, look at these as you use it. I think it'll be helpful for you. In review, though, just so we have a quick summary. One, hopefully you understand more of how UEV can enable user state. Fantastic solution. You've got the beta out there now. Hopefully we've helped you understand how you can easily deploy and manage this. And we encourage you to go home. I mean, the biggest takeaway from this session you can have is this is pretty easy. And you should be able to go install this in the lab, get it up and running, and weigh it against your environment. If you're running in a VDI environment, if you are leveraging AppV, this is a fantastic solution to provide a seamless user experience for state management as people work across their devices. So highly encourage you to do that. Again, the beta is available for 2.0 on the download on Springboard blog. If you go there, you can find out information on where to get that. And we encourage you to do that. It should also be listed in Connect. If you're a Microsoft Connect user for other programs, it'll be listed in there. Okay, related content, this is a list of the sessions. There's another session this afternoon. I encourage you to attend that on Dart, making PC recovery easier. Aaron will be running that one. Encourage you to enjoy that one. And then Friday, there's another session on Microsoft application virtualization. And then, of course, I've included the breakout sessions if you want to go watch those others later. Please give us session feedback. We want to see what we can do to improve this. Those of you that have filled out surveys, please get them to my good counterparts at the doors. And with that, let's open it up. If there's any questions, we've got about 3 minutes, and then I'll take them otherwise after. Right here, sir. Can I add non-standard user locations to templates? I can. They have to have user rights to those, though. I can't put like C drive and hope it works. It has to, if the user has access to it, it'll be able to grab it. Okay? Other questions? Okay, go ahead. Okay. Yep. Okay, so his situation is that each night, essentially, they're wiping out the profile. So every day the user comes in, they're creating a new profile every time they log in. So you're asking if UEV could help preserve the state between those so they don't have to keep rebuilding or reusing. Is that accurate?
Well, yeah, it's just when you customize it, so like the homepage, for example.
Yes. So the question was if they customize like their homepage. And the answer is yes, we can persist that. So what had happened in that case, so a user goes into IE, for example, changes it, puts their home page, puts some favorites, closes IE, UEV will capture those settings, write them out, profile gets blown away the next nightly run, however you do it, right, your standard process. when they log in the next day, they create the new profile. When they launch IE, it'll pull down the settings we stored, and so they will have their homepage back. So you should be in good shape. It should work just great. And in your scenario, what you're describing is essentially what happens in VDI if I'm using pooling, session pooling. You're essentially the same scenario. It's just you're running some scripts mandatorily to do it. And we do support session pooling, so it's the same scenario. Should be good. Yes, sir. They're in the middle of an XP to Windows 7 migration. Is XP supported? The answer is not for this. But what you would use is the state migration tool, and that'll get you to Windows 7. And then once you're there at Windows 7, we'll persist that migrated state and allow you to go ahead and work. This is something you bring. So put this in your image. So you do the state migration, and then you go ahead and use it. I think that's all the time I have for the public questions, but please come up after. I've got my colleagues here as well. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.